As long as trees are cut down for lumber and paper, there will be disagreements about how they are cut down and where and what is left behind, especially when streams enter the picture. Clean, shady streams with cool water are better than fish. There's general agreement about that. What's in dispute is how close logging can get to streams without degrading shade and water quality. The Oregon Board of Forestry meets next week and considers moves to revise the current rules on stream buffers. We'll hear several views of the process and the questions in this hour. We'll start with the nuts and bolts. Peter Daugherty is the Private Forests Division Chief at the Oregon Department of Forestry. He can talk about the rules in existence now and the process for revising them. Peter, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
The name certainly seems clear. What does the Private Forest Division regulate?
The Private Forest Division regulates all forest operations on private land in Oregon.
Okay, so we are generally talking about rules that pertain then to private land generally.
Correct.
Okay, now are the state forests, for example, managed in the same general way as the private forest land in regard to things like stream buffers?
They have to meet the Forest Practice Act, but they have a different set of goals and objective. So they do have different management practices around their streamside buffers.
All right, but generally we're talking about private land here when we talk about streamside buffers. So how far back, Peter, does ODF's research into stream temperatures go?
Oh, well, to really put this into context, we've been modifying our rules all along. The Board of Forestry last did a comprehensive review of the Forest Practice Act stream protection rules in 1994. They revised the rules, implementing the strongest protections on private forest lands in Oregon. And that was kind of followed in 1997. Oregon took a unique approach with the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watersheds, which emphasized restoring streams voluntarily to improve salmon habitat. And since then, forest landowners have invested about $100 million to restore streams and salmon habitat. And the efforts are working. These forested areas have the highest water quality in Oregon, with 65% of monitor sites having good to excellent water quality. And the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife reports that private industrial forest lands have the best coho rearing habitat. But as you said, there are opportunities for improvement. So in 2002, we worked with the Department of Environmental Quality to analyze forest practices to see how effective they were at protecting water quality. And questions were raised about our small and medium streams.
Are there different buffers then for different kinds of streams, Peter? I mean, is it going to be 50 feet some places and 20 feet others, that sort of thing?
Yeah, our current rules are based on size. And just to give you a little perspective, the size of streams we're talking about are the ones you can hop across or, you know, maybe with one or two steps get to the other sides. These are on our smaller size streams with fish use in them.
All right. With fish use in them, are there different rules if there are no fish perceived to be there?
Correct. If there are non-fish-bearing streams, we currently do not require riparian buffers on those non-fish streams.
All right, so no fish in the stream, you can cut essentially right down to the water's edge?
Yeah, although there's equipment exclusion to avoid erosion, and in some regions you have to leave the non-merchantable vegetation along the stream edge.
Is there a general agreement, Peter, that based on past research, the connection is clear? I mean, if you've got trees around the stream, you've got shade, the water quality and temperature are better for fish?
There's general agreement that we do want to protect water quality, including temperature, along fish streams. And so the board requires us to monitor the effectiveness of our rules, and that's what we did starting in 2002, shortly after the study that indicated some concerns about small and medium fish streams. That study, which is commonly called RIP Stream, is really a state-of-the-art monitoring project. The landowners and scientists' commitment to this has been and continues to be impressive. There were 33 sites where we measured temperature 2 years pre-harvest and 5 years post-harvest. These streams are highly variable, and the data analysis is really complex. And the department's monitoring staff and cooperating scientists have done outstanding work in distilling this data for the Board of Forestry. So we were looking at two water qualities. Generally, we want streams to be cool. And for salmon and steelhead, that means 61 degrees F or 64 degrees, depending on the use. And our current rules are meeting that requirement. What we found, though, is that we get temperature increases at the bottom of the stream at the end of a harvest unit that exceeds a half a degree Fahrenheit, which is called protecting cold water. And that standard applies where salmon and steelhead are present. So what we're trying to avoid now are these minor changes in stream temperature.
So did the RIPstream study itself lead to any changes in the standards, or have the buffers remained essentially the same since 1994?
Well, we just took this monitoring results, again, having to, the changes are small enough where it took quite a number of years to be able to see if we were having an effect. So we took our monitoring results to the board in 2012, and the board determined that there was a concern for meeting the protecting cold water, and that's when they initiated the rule analysis that they're coming towards the end on now.
So is there a proposal ready to hand to the board on Monday or next week? Wednesday, I guess it is.
No, on Wednesday what we're going to do is provide them the first look at all of the potential solution choices, what we think they'll have in terms of effect on temperature and other impacts on streams, and we'll go over the technical information, really focusing so that they understand kind of the trade-offs, and then we're scheduled to come back in July, on July 23rd, to get board direction on where we should go.
All right, so that's a good capsulization of the process that has existed so far and leads out from here. Peter Daugherty's the Private Forest Division Chief of the Oregon Department of Forestry. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today. We'll continue our discussion of logging and streams in just a few moments here on the Jefferson Exchange.